Chapter 1. One Man's Dream. February 15, 1995, Vietnam. Dreams, do they come true, especially in this day and age? My vision was sown over 30 years ago on the small country of Vietnam. I was just one of thousands sent to Vietnam by the United States government. As part of a police action, we were sent out to protect humankind from the threat of communist domination. Most of us were young and inexperienced, eager to embrace life. We were all hoping to return home in one piece and resume our quest for life's true meaning. We were willing to serve our country honorably, and we did so, despite our lack of political understanding about the war that might have helped us base an intelligent conviction toward it. During the 13 months of my tour in that faraway place, I served as a medic. My service entailed medically treating Allied troops, which included American, South Vietnamese ARV and Korean, ROC troops, Australian, English, sometimes North Vietnamese NVA, soldiers, mountaineers, and other civilians. The death and destruction brought to bear on these people by shell and mortar was almost too much for me to handle. During these days, a desire was born to return one day and render medical aid and assistance. Much to the surprise of my parents, I expressed this longing to them in my letters. Unfortunately, upon my return to the United States, post-traumatic stress disorder and everyday circumstances all but buried my hopes of return. In 2 Corinthians 1:8 and 9lb, Paul amply put my feelings into words, "I think you ought to know, dear brothers, about the hard times we went through in Asia. We were really crushed and overwhelmed and feared we would never live through it. We felt we were doomed to die and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves, but that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, for he can even raise the dead." Paul of Tarsus, Point Man. AD 65. A few years ago, the dying embers of my dream were fanned into a glowing flame. My good friend, Jim Brunat, and I were both excited when we discovered our mutual wish to return to Nam. We prayed that the Lord would allow us to go there together. 2 years later, God honored that prayer in Redding, California. We were attending a conference when God's Open Hands and Hearts mission leaders Phil and Vera Kinsey asked me to consider going on a mission trip as a medic to Vietnam. Yes, my heart leaped and peace washed over me. Jim and I both signed aboard as members of God's Open Hands and Hearts Tactical Team No. 1. The desire to be a missionary came from a very special experience in Vietnam in April of 1966. I was in Da Nang, Vietnam, where we were experiencing heavy action, and our hospital was a shelter or refuge for many Red Cross workers and local Christian missionaries. During this time, I was totally blessed, even though this was an interruption in our duties. This allowed us to be blessed with their presence in our chapel services. The Navy Seabees had recently constructed a Quonset hut, which we call our base chapel. At one of the morning prayer meetings, with these fleeing missionaries, I was sitting next to a man from Germany who was twice or more my age. His countenance radiated a love I have never forgotten. At that time, I prayed to the Lord, saying my desire was to someday display such a love in my life. I am still often reminded, by the Holy Spirit, of that prayer, and I believe God has honored my prayer. That same morning, we prayed for a woman and her children. Recently, the woman had become widowed, which left her children fatherless. A few days before, the communist Viet Cong had killed her husband. The widow told us she and her children would stay in Vietnam and continue with their missionary work, which basically came down to loving their enemy and the people of Vietnam with the love of Jesus Christ. I was amazed at her decision. I soon realized this love of Christ was so real in their lives that they were willing to die for their faith. This experience lit a fire in my heart for world missions. Fire for this work only burns stronger as I look back at these testimonies. God says where there is no vision, the people will perish. Praise the Lord, many veterans caught the vision for Asia, and in His time, the Lord opened the door for us. We left California on June 15, 1995, and after a few stopovers, arrived in Vietnam. "Thank you, Jesus," was my heart's song as I gazed out over the Saigon River from my hotel balcony in Song Bi. Song Bi is located about 30 kilometers from the capital city of Saigon. Saigon was renamed Ho Chi Minh City after the war. I was awakened at 2 a.m. I sat out on my balcony and the city was peaceful. I had been nudged awake by the Holy Spirit. I was puzzled by the great burden in my soul. "What is it?" I questioned, then I started weeping profusely. As the tears multiplied, I knew it as the father's heartbreaking for these impoverished, perishing people that he had taught me to love and care about those many years ago. I felt so very fragile. I submitted for the next few days. Any fears and doubts I had had about coming back were all dissipated. We were welcomed far beyond my greatest expectations. They were hospitable, but cautious at first. They questioned our motives for returning to their country. They suspected we were looking for MIAs or had ulterior motives. Our response was always the same: we came to show love, help heal, and to promote peace. They were able to read our hearts as our mission proceeded, and knew our intentions were honest. One day during sick call, Dr. No, our interpreter, said, "Roy, the Vietnamese people and the Red Cross staff said they can feel the great love and compassion coming from you as you work with them." Silently, I praised Jesus again that I had gained their trust. Although we were not able to enter the country as a preaching or evangelistic team, they allowed us to demonstrate the love and peace of Christ every place we went. Repeatedly, the members of the team remarked about the prayer support we had there, and around the USA we felt we were walking on water as we carried out our missions. One great example, out of many, where God's great hand was moving through our prayer partners, happened our first day at Songbi. Mr. No had been assigned to us by the Red Cross as our driver and interpreter. One night as he was dropping me off at the hotel, he invited me to his house for dinner and, as he called it, an entertaining evening. He was hoping I would help some of the students he and his wife were teaching English. I accepted the invitation. That night, while dinner was being prepared, the students practiced their English on me. Then I was introduced to a young lady who was to serve me dinner and supply anything else I might want or need. Mr. No had remembered that most American men were playboys, and he extended me the high honor of his hospitality by offering me the girl. He wanted me to have a good time. I quickly, but graciously, declined his offer. I didn't want to offend them. I explained I neither smoke drink or need a woman for the evening. I would not compromise my Christian convictions. The cycle ride back to the hotel was extremely exciting. The motorcycle had no lights, the streets are very narrow, and the constant trucks flying down the road have no mercy. Mr. No leaned back and said, "Roy, you have virtue." I answered, "Yes." To my great surprise and joy, he then asked, "You teach me to be a Christian?" I responded with a resounding yes. Just 3 weeks later, in our room, the team led Mr. No to the Lord. We prayed for him, and each one of us signed the Vietnamese translation of the Bible we gave him. This Bible was one of the 30 Bibles we brought into the country and distributed to those the Holy Spirit prompted us where to give them. Without mishap, many tracts were also passed out. Isn't God gracious and faithful in pouring out his love through us in so many ways, even in a communist-controlled land? God never leaves or forsakes us. He always fulfills his promises. The desires and dreams he gives us come to fruition all in accordance with his will and in his timing. He fulfilled my dreams to return and provide medical care for these people through Dr. Nguyen, affiliated with the Red Cross in Songbi. I was privileged to work doing sick call at his side in 8 villages, several hospitals, an orphanage, a hearing-impaired school, and at the Leprosarium, hospital for patients suffering with leprosy. The standard of living was so poor in these villages, it was heart-wrenching. One example was the leprosy hospital. There were over 500 patients and less than 300 beds for them. It was hot, so we brought several fans for the patients' rooms. Through the grace and provision of Lord, we were able to pass out several Bibles through the assistant doctor there, and more help was needed. I am confident that as long as the need exists, the Lord will raise up workers for the harvest fields there. We were also blessed during sick call when we would hand out sorely needed clothes, shoes, dental hygiene kits, as well as candy and toys for the children. What joy we experienced watching the kids laughing and playing. How awesome to have the love we extended returned to us by the Vietnamese people. Like the other team members, I came to that distant land to not only love and show my compassion, but to complete the last phase of my healing process of my past. I always knew God was a God of miracles, but it was never more evident to me than when working together as comrades in peace and love, striving to heal the sick, with Dr. Nguyen, a former Viet Song surgical doctor, who once considered me an enemy. But after 30 years in Christ's school of forgiveness, we were able to embrace each other, unashamed tears forming in our eyes, and say, "Peace, brother." I have to confess, I don't always understand the Master's plans, or how in bringing them to pass He uses us, bless us, and matures us. Why would we expect any less from the God of eternal love? Do dreams still come true in this day and age? Ask God to give you one and see what He will do. I know He made mine a reality.